I'm Nikki Lesprince, your host here on the Journey to Wellness podcast. I am super passionate about having conversations around wellness, and it could be around physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual wellness. I believe that having these conversations builds connections and offers insights to others for options that they could try if they're struggling in an area of their life. I'm a mama to 5 little kids, 8 and under, building my dreams of living a holistic life, educating on massage therapy, and continuing to grow my studio, Encompass Wellness Studio, where we offer customized massage therapy, holistic products and gifts, and other therapies to serve those in my community the best way I know how, through bodywork. I do all of this in a tiny town in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We are here on the Journey to Wellness podcast to have in-depth, open conversations to learn more about different options of taking care of yourself so that you can feel great and lead a life that you desire. We'll discuss everything from chiropractic care to relationships to coaching to opening yourself up. So get comfy, come open-minded, and prepare to learn about options you've never thought about or never tried. This is the Journey to Wellness podcast. Let's dive in. Hi, Kayla. Welcome to the Journey to Wellness podcast. I'm so happy to have you here.
Hi, Nikki. Thank you so much for having me here.
Of course. So I'm just going to kind of dive right in, just introduce people to who you are. So you are a coach, and you can dive more into that in a little bit. But I met you probably 5+ years ago when I started coaching with your mom, Lisa, and then eventually met you when you guys started Rise Together. So it's been kind of a fun journey, and I've done a lot of coaching with the both of you, and it's been epic. It's been amazing to have you as a coach. So why don't you just kind of start with a brief introduction of who you are and what you do and what you're passionate about?
Great. So let me start with the human first, and then I'll talk about Coach Kayla. So as a human, I really love all things dogs. I am a dog mom of 2 with a 3rd on the way. We've been joking that we're puppy pregnant because we're expecting our puppy to be born in just a couple months. And I'm a Pisces, so I love being on the water. We have a lake house in Upper Michigan, and I love kayaking, and I'm excited to paddleboard this year. According to things like human design, I'm a reflector, Enneagram, I'm an 8. I love to read, drink tea, be in nature, and travel. I really love traveling. So that's just a snip of who I am as a human. As a coach, I am an ontological life coach, and everyone is always like, "Onto what?" So ontology is the study of being, which means that while I'm working with my clients on the forefront to create the results and the tangible wins that they really want to have, the study of being means behind the scenes I'm looking at, who is my client being? Who is the human? What's happening on the internal landscape of who we are and how we show up? And that's really how we create our results. And so my business, as you mentioned, I run with my mom. Her name is Lisa, and it's called Rise Leadership Circle. And we work with heart-centered leaders, entrepreneurs, professionals who are committed to having an incredible experience of life. We call it living their yes life. So the things that they want most, the dreams and desires, and seeing that we don't have to stand in our way, but we can actually be the way that everything comes to us.
Absolutely. I love what you talk about is living your unapologetic life too. I think you demonstrate that very well, just living a life that you desire and what you want without apologizing for that. Will you speak into how did you get to that place? And I'm sure there was so much in-depth work, but kind of, can you give us a brief overview of what that looked like for you?
That is a good question. And I am chuckling as you're like, I'm sure there was so much work. I mean, yes, I have definitely been doing a lot of personal growth work over the years, but I don't know if it took a lot of work for me to lean into that. My brother, who I love and who loves me, would not jokingly tell you that I am selfish. And so there's that. I think that I just
so it's easier.
Move through life like, oh, this is what I want. This is what I'm going to have. This is what's for me. But I didn't always have the resources or the access to have those things. So I always knew what I wanted, but I downplayed if I could have it or not. And I really disconnected from my worthiness of having it. So I knew what I wanted, which I think is a first step that a lot of people don't even have. I had that foundation. And then the work that I did was certainly on connecting with my worthiness and how much it is that I actually deserve the things that I want. And then that is actually the work that opened up to the resources. And a lot of people think that it's the money or the time or the support that comes first. But I've got to tell you that it's not. It's actually owning our worthiness and really embodying and standing in it that opens the door to the money, the time, and the support to have it.
Yeah, that's so important, because I think so many of us get stuck in like, well, when I do X, then I will. When I make $100,000, then I will travel more. When I retire, then I'll do that. You know, I'm sure you see that a lot with your clients through coaching.
Oh, absolutely. There is so many when I, and it's always the reverse. If I think back to my very first year being a coach, so I left my job full time November 1st. And on November 1st, I had no clients and no real know-how to get clients. So that was interesting. So, November and December were really rough months. January wasn't much better. But that January, so I've only been an entrepreneur for 2 months, I decided I'm going to travel every single month this year. Not when I make $100,000 this year, then next year I'll travel. This year is when I'm going to travel every single month. And I really believe that choosing that for myself is a big part of what built my business. Not just travel is like some kind of magical thing, but that I was honoring my desires and showing up and committing to myself, which is what had the success come.
And oftentimes you've taught me that when you honor your desires and when you plan that thing and when you lean into that, then the money shows up and the support or the resources show up for you when you're like a full yes, all in. I've really had to learn how to do that, because I can get so stuck in the fear of like, well, how is that going to show up for me? How the heck am I going to open a massage school? On paper, it says I have to, you know, create $65,000 to launch this thing. And then when you actually just start and you commit to it and you start, it was not $65,000 to launch a massage school, right?
Yeah. And I love getting to watch the things that you have created and how you're creating it for you, for your family, for your, like your extended family, your clients, the people in the community, because of your willingness and your courage to trust your desires.
Yeah, thank you. I'd like to step back a little bit. What led you to coaching? Kind of where were you at and how did that all come to play?
So I first learned about coaching because my mom owned a brick and mortar business. She had a salon with a staff of about 30. And as she was leading her team, she realized that becoming a life coach would really serve her staff well. So that's when I learned about what coaching was, because she went and got a certification. And I was in college at the time that she was doing this. So, and my mom said, oh, Kayla, you'd be such a good coach. And I was like, well, I've just finished college. I feel kind of tapped out in the learning for a bit. I need to go to work. And after being in corporate America for only a few years, I was like, maybe this isn't what I thought it was going to be. The red tape was pretty hard for me. And I am an entrepreneur through and through. And so the very just essence of what working in a large corporation was not going to be for me. And so I remember being on vacation and sitting by the pool. And it was like the one vacation that I could afford to go to on that year. So it was like the first time that I had a little space to think for me. And I was deciding, okay, am I going to go get my master's or am I going to get certified and become a life coach? And then I found the perfect program and just kept following the steps. And here I am.
Oh, so amazing. And I heard a lot more of that story through your conferences or through your retreats and different things. And it's so fun to just hear where people have come from to see where you're at today, because now you unapologetically talk about online about how much money you're making and the things that you get to do. Like you just got back from Savannah, from a month in Savannah, right? Because that's what you're choosing for yourself.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to share, but like the moment where I was when I actually chose the life coaching school, because I think it's so powerful. So once I found like, this is the school, then it was January when I found this program. And I was thinking, oh, well, I'm sure it'll start like a school year in September. And it will probably be like, you know, the tuition of a school year. And I can get a student loan for it. And so it's January. I have time to figure it out. So I booked a call to get the information. And I learned that the program was actually $16,500, which was a lot more than I was expecting it to be. And that it started in 3 weeks. And I would have to travel out of state 1 weekend a month, every month for a year. And I needed to make a payment ASAP to secure my spot. And I had $100,000 of debt. So I was totally taken out. I felt like I was hit by a bus. Like I was not expecting any of that information. And I just said to the, you know, the recruiter, like, well, I'm probably going to have to wait till next year. Just see if I can maybe save enough money. And I was thinking to myself, there's no way I'm going to be able to save that. I have $100,000 of debt. I live paycheck to paycheck. How will I ever be able to save that much money? And it was in that moment of actually making the decision that I'm going to find a way to do all of this. Even though on paper, it seems like a terrible decision, like it can never happen. It changed my life.
Wow. And it worked out. And you started 3 weeks later?
Yeah. Yep. Started 3 weeks later. Wow. Made it to everything. And it just, I mean, truly being able to be a yes for myself and figure, like, be available for the how. It's not even figuring it out. It's being available for the how changed my life, because now I have done it again and again and again mm-hmm. and again. There are so many things that I want that seem like, I mean, here's another example. When we bought our lake house this year, we were looking just to buy land. And then in a 5-year plan, build a house. So it costs a lot less to buy a piece of land, even on a lake, than it does to buy a whole house. But we found our dream house. And so quickly, like overnight, we went from, okay, we were thinking we would spend maybe about like a sixth to a tenth of this money. And now we're going to invest all of it right now. But because I knew I know how to do this, I knew how to do it.
Right. Yeah. That's so powerful, because I think a lot of people can be like, well, it's easy for you to say you're making X amount of dollars, or it's easy for, you know, like, and it's like, no, I've actually lived this. I watch it come to fruition. Like, how do you think that I'm telling you about how to do this? I've been able to live this multiple times over and over again. And I think the more you do it, the easier it gets too. Right.
It definitely becomes, I don't know if it becomes easier. It becomes my habit. It's kind mm-hmm. of like, well, I know I'm going to do it. So here I go. the resistance has dropped because I know that I'm going to do it. But it still takes a lot of courage, because, yeah, I make a lot of money now, but the things I'm investing in are significantly greater. And so and the risk is a lot more. And I think about that. You know, when I was first starting out, if I had a low month, it might mean like, oh, okay, I gotta like, I can't go buy this t-shirt at Target or something. Well, now I have a staff, I have a team who I'm paying their salaries. So there's, you know, there's a lot more responsibility and weight, which I take really seriously.
Yeah, definitely. I can feel you on that too, because even now, same thing here is, I think about when I first opened my wellness studio and it was just me, right? So, and I had to pay my rent, but it was like, I could work more to pay rent or to buy this thing. But now again, same thing. I have employees that I need to take care of, and same thing, take very seriously, because you love to see how you can change other people's lives through what you're doing. So it's fun to be able to have that impact on that. And I love what you said about, it doesn't really get easier. It's more of a habit. And then maybe you just trust yourself more. Is that maybe the case?
That's for sure it. Yeah. I trust myself. I know that I'm going to do it. I know that I can do it. And so I don't have to work myself. The part that's easier is I don't have to work myself up to, am I going to do it or not? I just know that it's happening.
Yeah. And you trust that you're fully supported to make that happen.
Yeah. Like, I think about something as easy as like brushing our teeth. Think of the very first time we brushed our teeth. It might have not been easy, but it's no more difficult now than it was then. It's just that now I don't have to debate myself every morning and night. Should I brush my teeth? Shouldn't I? I just know that I'm going to do it. And so I do it. And it's the same with trusting myself.
Yes. My sister-in-laws are really inspiring. And a couple of them ran for like a mile a day for like a year straight. So they're doing this running streak. Right. Mm-hmm. And I was just talking to one of them. I'm like, what does that look like? What's that process look like? And she's like, the question changes from, am I going to go for a run today, to when is that run going to happen? There's no question of if it's happening. It's happening. It's just, what time of day is it going to happen at, depending on my schedule. And I'm like, oh, that's so inspiring, because then you're not And I think you guys have talked about this as coaches too. Like once you make a decision, you're not debating yourself. And that takes out half of the energy of like, am I going to do this? Am I not going to do this? Am I going to do that? And it's like, no, I am doing it. It's just, how is it? When am I going to do it?
It totally reduces the decision fatigue. Absolutely.
Yeah. It takes out all that mental mind work from it. I love how you show up in a very bold way. I'm sure you've been told this before. I think when I first met you, I was a little like, oh my gosh, she's a lot. Have you run into this? How do you respond to people who come up with that or who might be quote unquote triggered by you or things like that?
If they actually say it to me, which people do, they'll be like, oh, wow, you're a lot. I'll say, thank you for seeing me.
Oh,
so I just stand in it. I just own it. Like there is a scale of muchness and I'm on the top of it. I'm clear and aware of that. And that doesn't have to be a judgment. It can be a comment on what. So I don't interpret it as a judgment. I just, thank you for seeing me. I empower it. If I am getting the sense that somebody is feeling really triggered by me, and they're not naming it, but I just, you know, I'm reading their energy and I can see that there is like a trigger here. Then what I'm going to do is I am going to continue to stand in my power and shine my light and be intentional that I am just like staying in my own lane, that I'm not kind of bleeding myself out, that I'm not projecting, that I'm not creating judgments or making up a story of what I think is going on for them. If I kind of just like sniff it a little bit, I'm like, ooh, there might be a little judgment. Then I just, okay, I'm not going to project a judgment of what story they may or may not be telling about me. I'm just going to stay in my own lane and keep shining and allow whatever they feel about me to be their business.
Right. And oftentimes it's just because like a lot of us have been told to stay small as women or not get too loud or not get too big or don't be too successful. Right. So I think a lot of it is just our own junk coming up and getting triggered when you are just being your complete self and chasing the desires that you have.
Yeah. And I've totally learned that if someone has a feeling about me, sure, it might be about me, but as humans, we can only see everything through the lenses that we're looking through. And so it has a lot more to do with how we view ourselves. And I mean, that's true for me too. If I'm experiencing someone else, I can only experience them through the lens of how I experience myself. And so I just remind myself of that and then just stay in my own lane and let their experience be their responsibility.
Oh, that's amazing. How do you coach women through this? Like, as far as like, if they are showing up small or in the way that they're being, like they have a strong desire or a strong goal, but then they're showing up and we talk about beingness a lot, right? Like, who are you being or who do you have to be to reach your goal? How would you give us a snippet on like, how will you kind of coach women through this?
Yeah. The place that I would probably go is we would put ourselves in the future as the version of us that have that desire. So I would really like paint a vision and try to bring in all the senses of this is what your life is like. This is what you're experiencing. Now tell me about the woman that has that. And I would have them describe that version of themselves who already has it. And then we would work backwards to see, okay, that version of the woman is actually who's going to be required in order to create it. So how do we step into her now? What ways of being do we need to shift to be a match for that? And it's not that when I get there, then I will become that woman. It's becoming that woman is what will get me there.
Yes. I love that so much. And another thing so I'm in coaching with you guys right now. And one of the calls that we were working on, we were talking about this podcast and I was just like talking about how there's some fear coming up and just being, you know, more out there, so to speak, and everybody hearing my authenticity. And I remember during that call, one of the big themes that you guys talked about with multiple of us was, if you were 6 months down the road, like if, or for example, for myself, if I was 6 months into recording this podcast already, what would I be doing? I wouldn't be questioning myself, right? I wouldn't be wondering how I'm going to do it or if I'm going to do it. I would just be preparing for the next episode. I would be editing my episodes. I would be asking my next guest to come on and record an episode with me. And so it like completely changes the perspective on that too. It's like, if you were a year into your project, or if you had already completed your project, what would you be doing or who would you be? And I love to play with those scenarios, and it's such a good reflective opportunity.
Absolutely. I was thinking about the podcast too. Like, I love that we're here now doing it and yes. It's out in the world. It is incredible.
Yeah. Thank you. What's your favorite part of kind of helping people in coaching in your world?
My favorite part is when someone gets that they are worthy of choosing themselves and their dreams. And they do it. They actually choose themselves and go for what they want and commit to it. And in, like I said earlier, instead of getting in their own way, becoming the way, it gives me so much joy. I'm like, undoubtedly, that is my purpose, is to just open the door for people to be a yes for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. What do you kind of see as common roadblocks for people of getting in their own way?
So many, Nikki, the list is long, but the most common ones, like, yeah. we are so creative as humans of the ways that we can get in our own way. It is amazing. The variety of ways
that we sneaky. Can.
The most common ones are often related to time, money, and thinking we need permission, which really what that means is if time is what's getting in the way, it's that we have a fear of change happening. And so our fear of change, any kind of change, good, bad, change we want, change we don't want, we will use that fear to stop us or slow us down. When money is showing up, that's really a time when we are not anchoring into our worthiness. So being disconnected from our worth is a way that we get in our own way. And then when we think that we need permission, either from something, like I have to wait to see how much my taxes are, or someone, what that really is about is, am I trusting myself or not? So fear of change, being disconnected from our worth, and not trusting ourselves are the three biggest ways that we sabotage ourselves.
Yeah. And it can be so sneaky, right? I remember when that, like one of the first times I was coaching with you guys and, you had, I don't remember what exactly the conversation was around, but I was like, then I'd have to talk to my husband and get him on board. And so we talked a lot about like how to onboard the people in our lives to our dreams. How do we onboard them? And it's not asking them for permission, but like, hey, this is something that I really feel drawn to. How can we make this happen as a family? And when you come from it, I feel like from that side of things, that point of view, it's much more well received versus being like, hey, can I do this thing? And it's like, wow. I think it can kind of, the conversation can go a different way that way.
Of course, because if we're coming asking for permission, then what the other person, the energy that they're going to pick up, whether they know they're reading energy or not, is, oh, there's a lack of trust here. You don't trust yourself. So what should I do? Should I trust this? I'm not sure. But when we come with, here's what I'm choosing for me. This is my desire. This is my dream. This is how I want to move our whole family forward. And I'm trusting myself. And I'm asking if you can trust me. Now it actually feels good for our partner. It feels good for the other person because they're being met with a space of trust. And that feels really good.
That feels amazing. And I think that could be helpful in any conversation that we have in our relationships coming from that point of view.
Totally.
Yeah. Another way that you really show up and you love to talk about that I've been learning in my own personal life is the idea that the more fun you have, the more money you can make. And so maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Yes, absolutely. I love to say the more I play, the more I prosper. Because that is true. I mean, like, let's put that on my tombstone, y'all, in like 100 years, right? But that is my anthem because it is true. I have never found anything more true in my life. And one of the things that we teach is called the joy wheel. And the premise of the joy wheel is that we start with a joy jumpstart. Each one of us have a particular flavor or a way that we like to jumpstart our joy. And I will show you how you can build a roadmap that every time you activate that joy jumpstart and follow your own unique roadmap, it always leads to money. And this doesn't matter if you are a stay-at-home parent, if you're an entrepreneur, if you have a career, it does not matter. Activating our joy, so long as we don't get off the wheel, it always leads to money.
That's amazing. I used to take life so seriously. And I'm sure you see a lot of women like this, like, these are my goals and this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to take it so seriously. And then I remember you and a few other people I follow talk about bringing in joy, just dancing and having fun. And I was just, my brain is sometimes I'm so literal. I was just like, what? Like, how does this lead to money? And now the more I'm feeling myself getting too serious, nope, I got to go play. I got to go dance in my kitchen. I got to, you know, what's something that's going to fill up my soul versus work, 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 work.
And it makes sense because I think about, I mean, everyone right now who's listening, go ahead and just close your fist really tight. When we're working and grinding and just trying to make it happen so hard and our fists are closed, there is no space for money or abundance to come in. And when our palms are open, when we're dancing and we're having a good time and we're high-fiving, when we're moving around, there's so much space to receive. So, yes. I mean, just use your palms as a reminder of, and I'll notice that, like if my shoulders are hunched over and I'm working so hard, I'm like, okay, where's the room? Like there's not even room for abundance to come here.
Absolutely. And you had a challenge last week in your Facebook group, which you could also talk about, called Recovery Creates Results. And I loved that because it's that whole idea of like, instead of banging your head against the wall when you're frustrated, just take that break, take that recovery moment. And then oftentimes when you come back, you're like, oh, it was just this simple, but I couldn't figure it out because I was just so frustrated in that moment. I couldn't see how simple it could be. Or universe opened up how simple it was because you took that break in time to recover, right?
Absolutely. Pouring into ourselves never makes it harder or takes us away from our goals. Because wherever we go, there we are. So our goals are an extension of us. Our dreams are an extension of us. So pouring into ourselves always moves us forward.
And makes it easier.
Yes.
I think one of the biggest things that I've learned from you guys too is just like life can be easy. It doesn't have to be hard all of the time.
Just before we got on the podcast, I don't know why I was thinking about this, but what I was thinking about is how if you have a jar of pickles, like some jars are, they just pop right open. You give a little gentle twist and they're really easy. Some jars are really tight and you have, you know, bang the bottom or pound a fork on the side of it. And I was thinking about how essentially the same jar and some just require a little bit more work than the other, but how hard do we make it? How hard are we making it? And the jars that require a little bit more effort, like, are we willing to put that effort in? And I think maybe I was reflecting on that because I have been noticing with my clients just in this last month that it's appearing that they need to twist a little harder on their, like the pickle jar that is their business to see the results that they want. And I'm like, we don't have to make that mean anything. Like some jars are just a little bit harder to open. So we'll just put the extra effort in and don't make it harder than it has to be.
Right. And it doesn't mean it has to be frustrating or that you're failing or.
Yeah. Like if I have a pickle jar, it's hard to open. I don't have to sit on the ground and sob about it. I'm just going to like, okay, get a little tool or resource or ask someone for help.
Right. Yes. Amen. I love that so much. Going back to your Facebook group, do you want to tell everybody about what your Facebook group is and why it's so amazing?
Yes. So it's called Live Your Yes Life. And it's a party in there, y'all. I mean, we are having a lot of fun. It is, there's high engagement. It's consistent. It's a beautiful space to share about what's going on in your life, the ways that you're pouring into yourself, get resources. Lisa and I are in there so often sharing pop-up workshops, podcast episodes, just helpful tips and tricks. You can share about what you have to offer your business. Every Tuesday, we do a Giving Tuesday post where you can share on that thread.
I love that. So yeah, you guys go find that Facebook group right now and request to join because it is a fun place to be and so much free resources. Kayla and Lisa are so generous with the amount of free resources that they pour into their group. You don't even have to pay anything. One thing I was thinking about is when you said live your yes life is when I signed up for Elevate this year in January, you guys had sent me a mug that said live your yes life on it. And one of my kids saw it and they're like, what is this, mom? And I was like, oh, that's, you know, what is your yes life? What do you want to show up in your life? And it just created this like beautiful conversation around the table at dinner one night because they were just like talking about what their yes life would look like. And every single one of them was completely different. And it was just like so fun to hear.
Oh, I love that. That makes me so happy. Yes.
And like one wants to be an Iditarod runner with her sled dogs and one wants to, you know, like, it's just like so fun to like see where they want. And I already knew that, but it was just fun to like reiterate like what their dreams are.
Absolutely. Oh, how cool.
Yeah. So you guys are creating generational change.
And so are you. I mean, look at how by you choosing that, and I think I want women to hear this. So often, women and moms especially, I hear them think, well, if I choose this for me, that's going to be taking away from my family. But notice how the conversation wasn't, well, mom, since you're spending money on you and investing money on you, that means that we can't have this. Instead, the conversation was, oh, you're living your less yes life. Here's what mine is going to look like. This is what I'm choosing for me.
Yes, I had to work on that so much when I first started my career. And why am I doing this? And it's going to take away from my kids. And you guys, what if everything that you do pours into your kids and more? And they get to learn from you what it like. You're happier and more joyful when you're chasing your dreams. And it can be whatever it looks like for you. Maybe your dream is to be a stay-at-home mom and you onboard your husband so that you can stay at home and he, you know, supports you that way. Or maybe your dream is to work a little bit, or maybe you're, it doesn't matter. Like if, when you are chasing those dreams and you're full of joy and your kids get to see you doing that, I think like they're going to be happy too. And it's just going to support them so much and who they are.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Another thing I want to talk about is the importance of women in community or in circle. And I'm not sure if that's why one of your coaching levels is called the circle or not, but I think it's just like so important for women to be together in circle. And right now the type of coaching I'm getting from you guys is a group coaching, but so often when you guys are coaching somebody within that group, it speaks right to me. Right. Can you speak into that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, let's remember that we're all connected. We're all sharing this experience together, and we might have our own flavor of it, but we're eating the same meal. And so it makes sense that what is occurring for one person resonates and relates to us. And yet, so often I hear that people are afraid that they're the only one that feels like that, or they're carrying shame that like other people wouldn't think that or have that thought. And so we have found that it is incredibly important that we do gather women in circle so that the experiences that you have that are unique and are yours, you get to be seen and celebrated in that. And also that we can find the similarities and learn and grow from one another and realize that even if we're having our own experience, we're not in it alone.
Right. That's so empowering, right? Not to feel like you're alone, because that shame can have such a loud voice. And once we really sit with that, like, no, actually I can be held and heard and not judged where I'm at, it's so healing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to kind of shift gears a little bit from how you work with clients, and just, I'm kind of curious about what kind of breakthroughs you've had recently.
Okay. Let's think. I mean, always, I am always on the breakthrough journey. So there's no shortage of them. Like, let me think about what breakthroughs I have had recently. Okay. One that I'm actively living in. I feel like I've had the breakthrough and I'm still, it's close. It's still close to home. Mm-hmm. Is really seeing that I do not have to micromanage the universe. And that is like, I mean, we teach our work. So I don't have to be constantly checking of if this thing go through and is this going to happen and what's going on over here, that it's almost, it's not set it and forget it, but like set it and trust, set it and make the declaration, make the commitment, take the actions and show up, but not needing to micromanage. So that's one that I'm actively working on right now, like creating so much more space for trust and flow and freedom, rather than I say I trust, but I'm going to keep my hand on it.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And we see these things cyclically too, right? Like, oh, I thought I worked through this already last year. And it's like, nope, here it is again.
Of course. Yeah. Some people have a saying, new levels, new devil. No, it is new levels, same devils, my friend. Like the things show up just in a different way, a different experience. And we get to navigate that again.
Absolutely. I love that. How does your intuition show up for you? Like some people I hear like very clairvoyantly, like almost like voices in my head. No, I'm not crazy. I'm not schizophrenic. I hear, right? Some people feel things or just know things. How does your intuition show up for you?
I'm similar to you, claircognizant. So it's a knowing. It's I'm hearing my own thoughts, but I know that they're not my thoughts.
Right.
So it definitely is a knowing. This often will happen almost all of my Facebook posts. The way that they start is I'll kind of be thinking the thought or hearing like whatever the first one or two lines are. Mm-hmm. And it just keeps repeating until I write it down. It's kind of a nudge of like, we have a story coming through. We have something you're going to say. So we're going to keep telling you until you pause to write this down so that you can share it.
Yes. I've been getting into poetry a little bit, which is so fun. I get that same thing with like, I'll hear the first two lines of a poem and it's like, keep repeating itself until I start writing. And then same thing, it'll just pour out of me. I'm like, I don't know where that came from, but there it is.
Absolutely. I love that. It's beautiful.
And when we learn, again, trusting, right, lean into that creativity and that intuition, what shows up is just incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always, because it came from a space of trust.
Yeah. And is that how a lot of your ideas come through as well?
Everything. It is rare that I sit down and effort and like, think, what should I do about this? Because it doesn't work. So instead, what works is go have fun, activate some joy, get in a space where I'm open and able to receive. And then the idea will drop and I just follow it. I just have to stay out of the way.
Yeah. And that's such a feminine way of doing things too. It's so amazing when you start to come out of this, like, I need to sit down and figure this out versus like, no, I know it'll come to me when it's ready and let that process and sit. And we all know you love to take care of yourself. What's your favorite self-care, or what is some of your favorite ways to take care of yourself?
Lately, I've been really into infrared saunas. That is my jam right now. And I haven't gone since I've been home from Savannah, but since the start of the year, and I am fully committed that infrared sauna have been my favorite. And then in the summer, I love to kayak. Like, that's also one of my favorite. And I got a paddleboard. So I'm hoping that I'll love paddleboarding just as much.
Amazing. Yeah. And that's what you do that a lot up here at your lake house.
Yeah. When I'm at the lake house, I will go every day that it's safe to go out. You know, if it's a thunderstorm, I'm not. And it's amazing how often it is just cloudy, or it's like maybe 60 degrees and my family will call me and I bring my phone, you know, like for safety, and they'll call me and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm kayaking. They're like, in this weather? I'm like, okay, it's just cloudy, y'all. Like, you can go outside if it's cloudy.
One of my favorite clients, she tells me, she's like, there's no such thing as bad weather. You just have to dress for the weather.
Yes.
Like, what a concept. Maybe just put a rain jacket on. You'll be fine.
Totally. Yeah.
And so I always think of that when I'm like, nah, it's too gross outside. And like, there's no such thing as bad weather. Just dress for the weather.
And you know, another way I love to pour in myself is just sit with like a great fiction book or a TV show that is just for fun and like a dark chocolate bar, and just enjoy it and not think about, well, I could be doing this, or did I respond to this email yet, or do I need to do this, or just to let myself enjoy whatever this experience is.
Yes. Just fully allowing yourself to relax.
Yeah.
Slowing down the voice that's always needing something else to do. Right.
Right. Absolutely.
I love that. Thank you for leading the way on that and like showing us and demonstrating to those of us who follow you and everything, like just how important self-care is and continuing to show it up for yourself always.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite questions, what's a recent book you read? And then we can kind of chat about the takeaways of that. And what
Great. Well, I read this book because of you, Nikki. So I just read The Emotion Code. It is a phenomenal book. I hope that everyone reads it. And I also hope that everyone hires you for an emotion code session. So do you want to talk about what emotion code is? And then I'll share the sessions we were doing. Yeah,
sure. So the emotion code, like Kayla said, it's in a book. So I had read the book a few years back and I was like, oh my gosh, I need to add this to my practice. But first I needed to practice it myself and see. So I had started using it on my kids. But basically, this chiropractor had discovered that he could test for emotions in the body that are stuck in the body. And then talks a lot about the science behind it and different things. And then through testing emotions, then we can see what comes up and then release those emotions. And essentially what he has found is that when we have stuck emotions, we can show up in many different ways. He talks about a male who is just a really cranky old guy, released a bunch of emotions, and that day walked out much happier, much more at peace, much more present out of his office. So whether it's anger or just symptoms of grief, or if you're having physical ailments, those emotions could be involved in some of those symptoms. How I've seen it show up in my own practice is that I've done trigger point therapy, really deep work for many, I'm going on like 10 years of practice now. And I would work on these people, and sometimes people would have these really stuck areas, and I'd see them session after session. A lot of times we had great relief, but then there would be like this deeper layer that would just get stuck and I could not work through it. And then when I started to bring the emotion code in, it was really interesting. Of course, it starts as like these small intuitive nudges. And then eventually it's like, no, you have to talk about emotion and like what could be stuck here. And then when I started bringing the emotion code in, like when I would even mention like, is there an emotion stuck here? Have you had a symptom of when this came up of grief or different things? And they would start talking and that whole area would just release. It was just like incredible. So then I was like, okay, I really need to add this into my practice. And then now I have emotion code and massage sessions where you can do both at the same time. And they're incredible because we're working the emotional mental layer along with the physical layer, and they just release incredibly well together. And it never fails to amaze me. It's just been such a fun, fun journey.
So beautiful. I am so grateful that you reached out to me, and I'd love to use this as a teaching moment for everyone. I had posted about how my dogs are suffering from really extreme anxiety, and Nikki just knew that she had a tool that could be helpful for me. And so she unapologetically said, hey, I have a way that I think could be helpful. And I want to name that for anybody listening, whoever feels like, well, I can't offer this, or I can't make this invitation. What would they think about me? I am so grateful that she did, because we started doing it on my dogs. So Nikki does distance emotion code session on both of my dogs. And I was noticing that it really was being supportive. And so then I came across the book and I was like, this is it. And so I'm going to read it. And when we were, the car is actually one, car and loud noises are the two biggest triggers for my dogs. And so in Savannah, we had a long car ride, there was thunderstorms. And so it was helpful for me to have this resource. I'm not a pro at it yet, but I'm kind of practicing from the book. And it just really was profound. And I really enjoy having a tool to support my dogs that isn't just medication.
And that's such a good point too, that anybody can do it. You can do it on animals. It doesn't have to just be people. You can do it distance. And all of this, of course, is described in the book, but we can help people release their emotions over the phone. Intention is such a powerful tool. When we intend for something to release, when we want that to let go, God will help us with that, and he'll help to release. And so it's really, really cool. I first started using it on my Gus. He's almost four now, but he was one at the time, and we had moved. And I think through that move, he almost felt like abandoned, because abandonment kept coming up, and he was just miserable. I would often say, so there's somewhere called up here called Misery Bay. And I'd be like, you're so miserable. Do you just need to move to Misery Bay? Like, he was just crying at me all the time. And finally I was like, okay, I'm going to do emotion code on him. And one afternoon he went from just fussing. And then he was playing by himself. And I was like, what in the world? This is amazing. You know, and I think we have to have some of those, like some of our own kind of breakthroughs like that, to be like, yes, this is real stuff. This is working really well. And it took a few sessions, like you're saying with your dogs, right? Like I think I had done two sessions with you, and now you're doing it on your own as things come up, as those deeper emotions come up. But same thing with Gus, I had to kind of keep working with him to keep releasing some of those deeper layers. And now he's fine in our house for sure.
Amazing. Yeah, I know. We need to keep doing it on my dogs, because I'm like, these folks have layers here is what I know. And they're six short years of life. They have developed some trauma before they got to me or with me. I don't know.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because there could be a couple of things. Like, well, number one, it's like, are we just going to have stuck emotions from any emotion we go through? Not necessarily. I think if we continue to allow ourselves to fully feel when we have emotions that come up instead of burying them, like we've been taught, that's the first step. But then also there's heart wall emotions that you can use to protect your heart. Like we all do, if somebody hurts us and we want to protect our heart, we might put up a wall around our heart with heart wall emotions that are a little bit, just take a little bit more to release. And then also, generational, right? Inherited emotions. And so maybe some of those emotions were coming from their parents, which came from their parents, with, you know, and same thing in humans, we can pass down those emotions. And so those can be really intense for people. And they might be like, I've always just been kind of crabby and annoyed, or I've always been skeptical and I don't know why, or I've always just had this heaviness on my heart and I don't know why. That could be an inherited generator, an inherited emotion, if that's something that maybe you feel.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's, I think, like, all of this work, whether it be coaching, body work, emotional work, all of it just goes so hand in hand, because maybe somebody is doing the coaching and just feeling like they're not getting anywhere. This is maybe where some of the more of the energy work can come in, or the massage and body work, or because I think once you release some of those things that are weighing on you, it's like, oh, now I can see my worthiness. Now I can kind of see how I could love myself
so
deeper.
Important, because sometimes it's just like, I just can't connect into it. Like, I just can't plug into my worthiness, or I'm just running the same pattern. And well, if nothing changes, nothing changes. So let's go release something. Let's let go of a trapped emotion and see what that opens up of how you can plug in now. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I love using many therapies, many different tools, whether it be coaching or body work or whatnot, because all of these things just go so hand in hand for ultimately allowing us to show up as our truest authentic self and chasing those desires, right?
I agree. Actually, after this, we both have been running. So that's exciting. Yes. And I noticed my right knee has been a little sore the last 24 hours. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to emotion code it. I'm going to foam roll. I'm just going to set the intention that whatever is being held in there is going to release. And then I'm going to ice it and just veg and let it restore itself before I ask more of it tomorrow.
Yes. I love that. One thing I've been saying to my kids a lot lately is, your body is really smart and it knows how to heal itself. You know, they're like, I'm bleeding. And I'm like, I know. And guess what? Your body's going to create a scab because it's really smart.
I love that.
Because I think, like, when we believe that our body can heal itself too, then our body wants to show up for us, and instead of being, oh no, now I'm this. Oh no, now I'm that. It's just creating all these stories. And you're like, no, I get to rest, and then it'll feel better because I rested.
Yeah.
Amazing. Is there anything else that you want to share with anybody today?
I would love to share that whatever dream or desire is on your heart, to give yourself permission to explore it, to own it, to realize that it is on your heart for a reason. And so follow it. Give yourself the gift of following that, because you are so deserving of it.
And even if it feels really, really scary to follow it.
Especially then.
This brings up two thoughts for me. Is like, number one, sometimes just getting curious with it. Like, could I do this? What does that, like, it doesn't have to mean you take action. Maybe it's just getting curious with that dream, or what are my dreams? But the other thing is, what was the space that you guys talk about living in? Like that expanded space where it's like in the scary, but you know, it's doable.
The zone of possibility.
Yes.
Do we call it something else, or?
I don't remember. Can you talk about that a little bit? It's been a little while.
Yeah. So, I mean, everyone has the comfort zone, which is where this is what's familiar. It's what we know. It's life as normal. And outside of the comfort zone is the zone of possibility. And this is where things feel scary and stretchy and unknown and uncertain. And that is where all the magic happens. And so, well, of course, we might be in the comfort zone sometimes because we're humans, and it also feels good to be there. The more time that we can spend in the zone of possibility, living outside of our comfort zone, the more that we're going to create and give and receive and enjoy. And that really is the magic zone.
Yeah. So if something feels scary, it doesn't necessarily mean you got to run back to the comfort zone. It just means that you're growing and expanding and changing. And that's amazing.
Yes. Often people will say to me, you know, I'll make some kind of invitation to them, and they're like, this feels scary and exciting. And I'm like, perfect. Then we know that we've hit the mark. If this just felt like, cool, yeah, I'll do that, then I'm like, actually, I don't know if this is for you. When it's like, I'm going to do this. Now we know that we've moved you into this new space where we can actually create a new result.
Yes, absolutely. And just allowing, like, this podcast, I was like feeling pukey about it. And then I was like, no, I really want to do it. And then I'm feeling scared. And then I'm like, no, I'm just going to sit with that and allow myself to feel those things. And then also keep moving forward because I really actually do want to do it.
Yes. We have a little saying that we like to joke with. We call them your poop goals. Like the goals that are so big, they make you want to poop your pants. Like you have a stomach ache, or you're like, Like, yes. Those are what we want to go for.
Yes. So allow yourself to dream of those ones.
Yes.
And go there. Amazing. Where can people find you online?
So definitely in our Facebook group, which is called Live Your Yes Life. I am mostly on Facebook. So you can just search my name. You can see the spelling in the show notes here. We actually made a decision for the year of 2024 that we're not going to do any posting or advertising on Instagram. So we're not really on Instagram right now. Next year we might come back, but this year we're putting all of our focus, all of our freebies into our Facebook group.
Amazing. Anywhere else or just a Facebook group? And then,
yeah, that's what I would recommend. And Perfect. If some, like most people are on Facebook, if you're not and you're on Instagram, you're like, I'm not on Facebook, send me a message on Instagram and I can get you like on our text list. And
perfect. Yeah. And your website is Rise Leadership.
Oh, yeah. Our website, riseleadershipcircle.com. It's a great place to find us. You can get the podcast there. Thanks, Nikki.
Amazing. Of course, sometimes we forget about that, right? Well, thank you so much for joining me today. This was really fun to kind of share what you do and how you help all of us women in the world.
Thank you so much, Nikki. I appreciate you.
And that, my friends, is a wrap on this episode of the Journey to Wellness podcast. I would love it if you could take the time to head over and give us a review on what you thought of this podcast. And if you have any questions or need to find anything, you can check out the show notes or you can send us a DM as well. We are so thankful you're here and we look forward to seeing you next time.